slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness that you have developed. Then develop the daily mindfulness. Every movement, every action, every activity that your bodily activity do, you must be aware. Then when you are doing your walking meditation, it's not just walk, but you must be aware every movement of your hand, your leg, your bodily part. It's like your awareness flow with it. Means your awareness is in your entire body. When you walk to the same. Okay. Then we continue our Heart Sutta, page 36. Tammy, you can read. You need the light there or not? You need the light up there? No need, you can see. Otherwise, I try to on the light, see whether it helps you or not.
Chapter 9, Heart Sutta Class, Part 1, Recapitulation and Emphasis on the Previous Lesson, 1.1. Within the 37 Factors of Enlightenment, there are 7 main factors of enlightenment called Sattabhojjhanga, as taught by the Buddha, and they are 1. Sati or mindfulness, silent inner awareness before the knowing, is the first factor of enlightenment, and it is also one of the 5 spiritual faculties. For sati is life, and without sati there is no heedfulness, hence no life, because the heedless are as if dead. Also, without sati, there is no heedfulness or the silent mind in pure awareness to investigate the Dhamma and to see the mental intentions behind all our action, speech, and thought processes. 2. Dhamma vichaya or Dhamma investigation is the second factor of enlightenment. Only with sati is there the ability to investigate the Dhamma with the silent mind. When the Dhamma stands up for investigation, the faith or saddha is the Buddha, in the Buddha and his teaching will be strengthened, giving rise to the viriya. 3. Viriya or spiritual tenacity or energy or zeal is the third factor of enlightenment that will drive your meditation. Then, 4. Piti, the spiritual joy or calmness, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. 5. Followed by Pasadi, or tranquility and stillness of mind, which is the fifth factor of enlightenment. 6. Samadhi, the collected and unwavering mind, which is the sixth factor of enlightenment, will arise once Pasadi and Sati have stabilized. 7. Upekkha, or equanimity of all mental formation born of wisdom, is the last of the 7 factors of enlightenment, and it will arise once Sati and Samadhi have stabilized. To see things as they are, leading to all the wisdom of Arpanya, which is also the last of the 5 spiritual faculties. These karmically condition 5 aggregates of form and mind, or this segmental human being, which you all call Brother Teo, is not me. but just only a tool and vehicle for my nature to come to this world and for me to make use of, to live and experience life to the fullest, etc. This form of physical body of mine is similar to the functional body of Lord Buddha, called Nimanakaya, that performed the function of the Buddha 2,500 plus years ago, when he became enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. His spiritual nature or perfection body, called the Sambhogaya, came back to him, and then they combined to make him the Sammasambuddha. We are arising the third transformed body, called Dhammakaya, that enabled him to speak and proclaim the Dhamma. So after understanding all this, you should not cling on to this chemically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind so deludedly anymore. And the next time when you argue with your friend or your wife or husband, you will understand that it is just one form and mind, and with a bundle of memories.
With its bundle of memories and its conditionings,
views and opinions, etc. Arguing with another form and mind, so not so real and not what you think.
Very good. Continue. Okay.
If you deludedly cling or grasp onto the five aggregates of this form and mind as the I and the me, then you will have what the Buddha calls self-delusion or Sakkaya Ditti. Self-delusion or wrong view with regards to the self will condition your egoic mind and personality to arise, leading to all your selfishness and possessiveness to own, cling, grasp and process things, wanting things your way, etc. Hence arising the whole mass of suffering. The Buddha gave five very good analogies to clearly explain the empty nature of these five aggregates of form and mind. He said your physical body or form aggregates is like a foam, appears so solid but not so, because if you leave the foam for a while, it's gone after a while. And the feeling aggregates is just like a bubble, arises and passes away so fast. Then the aggregates of perception is just like a mirage you see in the desert, appears so real from afar, but you will realize that it's just a mirage when you come near to it. Then the aggregates of sankhara, or thinking or activities of mind, is like peeling a banana tree stem. Layer after layer you peel, finally at the core of it, it is empty. That is sabbe sankhara anicca and anatta. Lastly, the Buddha said your aggregates of vijnana of consciousness is just like a magician. A magician is also called an illusionist, who creates illusion for you to see. Hence the reason why the Mahayana always said that this world of ours is an illusionary world, a world of consciousness only, so not so real and not what you think. Do wake up and do not be deluded anymore.
Thank you. Okay, I will explain a bit. This one concerning the five aggregate of form and mind. The seven factor enlightenment, I think by now you should have the understanding. The only thing you need to know is, if you have cultivated correctly, the seven factor enlightenment will keep on arising. Yeah. And of the seven factor enlightenment, the first one is sati. That's how you have to get sati right. Without sati, you cannot start your cultivation. Everything falls apart. Because the Buddha said, without sati, you can never be ever mindful. you need to be mindful before ever mindful. If you are not ever mindful, you cannot develop heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why sati is very important. And without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma, because you cannot see your own mind states. You cannot be aware. And you cannot understand the teaching. Then without sati, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the samasati, perfectness. Then without sati, you cannot keep your precept. Without sati, you cannot cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. Without sati, you are not sensitive, you are not aware. So all this points towards the importance of sati. And sati has to be stabilized until you are fully aware. Then throughout the day, you are able to develop the heedfulness. Otherwise, you are as if dead. Okay, coming to the five aggregate of form and mind is to let you understand that that five aggregate of form and mind is not me. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha explained very clearly. For those who are new, I have to explain to you. The Buddha has three types of body. These three types of body are not easy to understand if you don't have the understanding of his teaching. So the first one, he says, is the functional body. And this functional body is his form and mind that perform the function of the Buddha. So maybe we just draw the physical body with the consciousness inside. Then this whole thing combined is the functional body. Yeah? Buddha's functional body. That performs the function of the Buddha. Okay? Like this physical body and mind of mine, you call Brother Teo. This one is my functional body, karmically conditioned out for my nature to come. Well, for you to come, you need a vehicle and a tool. And this five degree of form and mind is our segmented life. So that segment of the Buddha's life at that time is Sakyamuni Buddha. Sakyamuni Buddha. So that is the segmented life at that time, 2000 years ago. Then after that, he has this spiritual body. He called it the Samgogayakaya, spiritual body, or Samgogayakaya. Sambo, no H, eh? Oh, got H, eh? Don't have. Sambo Gaya, eh? Gaya. So what happened is, this one is your spiritual nature. So this spiritual body is actually your spiritual nature. It's a nature that Sakyamuni has developed and perfected. So underneath the Bodhi tree, when he meditates, when he connects, he inherited all of his spiritual perfection. That's why he became the Sammasambuddha. So these two, when you combine them, you combine them, you plus, it gives rise to the third body. This one is the Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya. The Dhamma body that teaches the Dhamma. So this is the manifestation, of that same functional body, because this functional body now connected to the spiritual nature. So this spiritual nature, when it's connected, it has all the perfection and the understanding of what the Buddha has perfected. That's why he can teach the Buddha. And this one transformed into the Dhammakaya. Yeah. You can follow. Clear or not? Yeah. So if this is clear, then very easy for you. So the Buddha got no more problem, where he knows this functional body of his is not real, it's not him. It's karmically conditioned, the segmented life. Sakyamuni, that segmented life. Like this for my mind, Brother Theo, that you all see. This segment of my nature's life. It comes in this form of mind. Then at the age of 35, when I developed the meditation, I connect to my nature. So my spiritual understanding, my nature was able to inherit them. So when it's connected, then this functional body of mind, my form of mind, with the wisdom, understanding, and all the spiritual perfection that it has cultivated before, will animate me into something like this Dhammakaya, for me to share the Dhamma. But this is not a Sammasambuddha, Nisana, where this one has certain stages of cultivation. But it can also teach the Dhamma. So it's exactly the same. But this is not me. Where this is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real. Every part of it, the five aggregate, is not permanent. And it leads to suffering. And because it's not permanent, it's anatta, empty, non-self. Not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. But this cannot continue. This form and mind will separate and just cease. Then you call die or dead. Actually, nothing die. No one die. No one born. No one get old, no one get sick, no one die. But the physical body is subject to birth, old age, sickness and death. But this belongs to the physical body. But the true nature is the unborn, never die. So this part is what you need to develop the understanding. Then you will not be deceived. You will not cling. Then like I say, when you argue with somebody, who are you arguing with? Even your wife, let's say your spouse. It's just a form of mind with its own conditioning, with its bundle of memory, views and opinion, arguing with another form of mind. They are both not real. But you take it as very real, where you attach, understand? You cling. That's where suffering can arise. So when suffering arises due to ignorance, delusion, it means you don't have the Dhamma. If you have the Dhamma, you will not be so foolish, so deluded. Okay, with that, I think the five analogy we have gone through, that one very easy to understand. Then you continue. Tell me.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 9. Commentary, page 7 to 11. 2.1. Be aware of the three karmic obstacles, and according to Master Xuan Hua, eradication is what the Heart Sutra is capable of doing. That is, doing away with the three obstacles, the retribution obstacles, the activity obstacles, and the affliction obstacles. 1. Retribution obstacles. There are two types. Primary retribution implies chemically conditioned physical body, like the type of DNA coding, the physical appearance, etc. Dependent retribution implies chemically conditioned living conditions or your materialistic inheritance. that is born poor or born rich, and where you are born into, you don't have
where you are born into.
You don't have a choice because it is a dependent retribution, but who you marry to, you do have a choice.
So this one is about choice. Karma, you don't have choice. Understand? Karma decide. Because of your karma, who are your parents, you cannot decide. Unless you are a bodhisattva. So for normal living being, the dependent retribution, you got no choice. But after you are born, who you want to marry to, is your choice. That's why choose wisely, choose with understanding, wisdom. Don't choose with cheme po chap one, the one not sure one. Then like that day, one of the Kayamitai, she came and see me, then discuss some problem. Then we had a very good discussion. I explained to her about karma. At first she cannot understand because to her, she actually relatively has a lot of potential. Yeah, she is actually still quite young and quite successful, I think, in her career and all things. She know how to dress up. Then she also know how to conduct herself. Then she has relatively successful, I think, financial position. So she owned a few property, I'll say. Then she got some problem recently. Then she trusted me. She came and see me and discussed. Then I explained to her. I said, you don't worry. Because he said recently the boyfriend left her or what. Then he said, my problem is, despite of my condition, everything I have, how come every time I have this problem? Understand? Then I told her, if you have the Dhamma, the person who doesn't want you is the one that lose. Understand? You don't lose anything. But he said, every time it happened. So how? Then I said, okay, now we go into the Dhamma. Karma, everything. I said, the way you choose your partner, you have to understand. I also give her some example. I said, I quoted my wife, telling my son, always reminding him, you look for girlfriend, you don't look for flower vase. You understand? You know what is flower vase? Pai sui one. Show people one, nice one. But very fragile. You not careful, kling kliang, crack already, gone already. So flower vase, very fragile one. Then nice thing, pretty thing, very difficult to keep on. Like goldfish, swim away very fast. We are everybody interested. So I say, look for a wife that is supportive and all those things. Then I say, marriage, you need to understand. Marriage involves a relationship. A marriage contract is not so simple. It demands sincerity. It demands understanding for it to work, for it to really become something beautiful and flourish. So without being sincere, you enter into the marriage contract, then there is no trust. Without trust, there will be problem. Then after a while, you know what she told me? Oh, but till now I know. He said, I say, you cultivate noble evil power, all the noble quality, the wisdom, right view, then you are beautiful inside, understand? Speech-wise, action-wise, thought-wise. So you have all this beautiful inner character, inner personality. And you know how to approach and talk to people nicely. And you are kind, you are virtuous. You have all those things. Then people who look for why will come after you. You become very popular. You don't have to worry about without boyfriend or life partner. Oh, then she started to understand. Yeah, but you luckily you explained this. Now I know why I have problem. He said, she looked for flower vase. Understand? Handsome one. Understand? There are other criteria. So when you understand, then your problem is resolved. But when you don't understand, your problem will be there. So karma decides a lot of things, you have to understand. You cannot blame your parents if you are born not handsome, understand? Or not pretty, understand? Then like the case of Bill Gates. According to the story of Bill Gates, do you know that he dropped out from the university? He didn't complete? And when he was in the first year, there was a very pretty girl, you know, in her class. You know. Bill Gates was after her. You know. But this girl looked at Bill Gates like a piano, square one. You know. So was not interested in him. You know. He was a nobody. So he didn't really end up successful. Then Bill Gates came out. Then because of his great karma, he finally became so successful, so rich and so wealthy. You know. Then the lady that Bill Gates interested in also married already, you know. Then after marriage, got children also, you know. Then one day there was an argument, I think, between the spouse. So that lady told the husband, you know, I make a stupid choice to marry you. I would have married Bill Gates, I would have become what I want. Then the son, lucky, smart. He said, my mother, don't know how to choose, he said. Otherwise, I will be Bill Gates' son. So in Cantonese, they make a joke. Loma ji msang seng. Choose the wrong one. You understand? So karma is not like that. So you think if she choose Bill Gates, you will be the son? You will be the son of the son. Because you don't have that parami to be the son of Bill Gates. If you are Ananda, Ananda Pindika or the past, then got chance, understand, of Bill Gates' son. But you are not. So a lot of things about karma, that's why we have primary retribution. Primary retribution means when you are born, you got no choice. Karma decides what type of body you have. The DNA, whatever, whether you're handsome or you're not handsome. Then your character, what type of character, everything is decided by karma, coded. That's why you cannot blame your parents, understand, Then the dependent retribution is, I already explained. This one is your living condition. So if your dependent retribution is past life, previous life, you didn't do your duty, understand not? You neglect your duty as a father or as a mother. Then you will be married, you will be born from a family, The husband and wife, your parents are also not responsible, don't do their duty. That's why a lot of kids don't understand. They say, why my father do that? He's a gambler, he drunk, and so irresponsible. Then torture the mother. I met one lady who came and see me. The father did that to the mother, and the mother finally, because of stress, and also other things, become, I think, sick. Then the mother died. Then she went into depression and all those things. So, karmic is, when you do this neglect, in future you come, you have parents that do back to you. Then you cannot blame. So this dependent retribution is exactly what it is. Whether you're born into a rich family, poor family, with parents, funny one, or with parents like my children, very good parents who take care of them. But they have been taking care of their children previous life very well, and they have that parami. That's why they can have that good parent who understand them, bring them out, advise them, guide them, then allow them to choose their life, to live the way they want to be. That's why this law of karma, when you understand, you know how to live, you will not be selfish. You will be upright. You will have good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct. Then dutiful conduct. You do your duty. That's why every life you come, you are beautiful. You don't have problem. So this part, clear. Okay, tell me, go on.
Two, activity obstacles implies karmically conditioned livelihood obstacles, like you have a lot of karma obstruction while working and living your life.
This are a lot of kaya metta. After they understand this, they tell me, yeah, brother, you're correct. My boss are one kind. It's because last time they also one kind, you know? They also whack their somebody. Understand? Now they kena this type of boss. Understand? This is activity obstruction. Means your career not smooth one. Bo soon one. Understand? Go everywhere also kena. You maybe got a little bit. Your boss refused to give you your leave. Because you last time also act. Why take leave? Nothing to do. Come back and work. Then you kena this type of boss. You already luckily put in 1 year ahead. If you don't put in 1 year ahead, how? Yeah, I know. Luckily you put in 1 year ahead. Otherwise you got no reason. You don't know how to argue with her. Then you find it very difficult. very good. Very good. Very good. So develop patience, but inside still bosong. Means haven't really developed the full understanding yet, but improving already. Very good, Sadhu. So what is important is you avoid doing this to your subordinate. So from now onward, you don't have that karmic conditioning. Then the type of friction in future will not come again. Then to resolve this, to eradicate this, like Xianhua mentioned here, where he didn't teach you how, you have to ask for forgiveness from all beings from the distant past until now, following our chanting book, whether you knowingly or unknowingly caused karmic negativity, suffering, misery, or you ask for forgiveness sincerely. Then you repent. You vow not to repeat all this from now onward. Then you invoke power of merits. For you to overcome all these karmic obstacles amicably, so that all this can be resolved amicably, so that in future they will not come and obstruct you and give you problems, so that your life will be very smooth sailing. Your whatever relationship with bosses, colleagues, all very good, very smooth sailing. So this is what you can do to eradicate activity obstacle. Tell me, go on.
3. Affliction obstacle implies chemically conditioned affliction caused by your heedlessness in life. That is whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hoof. Then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. If you want to be happy, then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the 3 evil roots. Then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you.
So now you know how to live your life there. No need to make choice. Based on the understanding, you know which one to choose there. It's no more or throw dice. No need. You see, Dhammapada was one lead to suffering. Do you want your life to be like that? You want your life to be like that or not? You don't want it, eh? And then, the obvious choice is Dhammapada was 2, right? So that happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leave you. So, develop heedfulness. Avoid evil. Do good. Purify the mind. So that you have the ability to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how, with the understanding, the Dhamma, you will know what to do. You will know how to decide your life. There is no more choice. Choice due to lack of understanding is confusion. Read on. The answer is there.
Dhammapada verse 2 will then take its course. Don't blame anybody for your affliction, For according to the Buddha, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma, so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness for you.
You reap what you sow.
For you reap what you sow. What you do to others karmically, it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically others will be good and kind to you, because these are your karmic inheritance. The absence of evil is good. So don't try to be good, but instead, just train your mind to be heedful or mindful, so that it is incapable of evil. Then naturally, you will be good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have no evil, but only wisdom and virtue.
Now you understand, huh? So this is how you develop the understanding to live your life. When you have this understanding, you become beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah. You must have the Noble Eightfold Path quality in you, that embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. When you have that, you become so beautiful. You are a blessing to all, and everybody will like you. Yeah. They feel safe when they are around you, and they can see you are genuine, you are sincere, you are kind, you are generous, and you are not selfish. You don't have the deceitfulness character. You are not a person that is capable of evil. So they will naturally feel comfortable around you, and they feel safe when they are with you. And they kind of can feel that such a person is very rare. Somebody so sincere, so kind, so helpful. Yeah. Never have the ulterior motive to take advantage of people and all those things. So Dhamma has this power to help you to eradicate all the three types of karmic obstacles that living beings who are heedless tend to undergo. But this one you have to do yourself, understand? Through your own understanding and live the life in accordance. These three types of karmic obstacles, nobody can help you overcome. You have to do it yourself. The only one is like that day I explained to somebody when we were down there, the new people. Down there we have one great being, Chunti Pusa. It seems of all the Bodhisattva, the great being, only his or her that I found has this ability where the vow has become nature's law. You go and Google, you can find. It seems if you chant or recite the Chunti Pusa's 4 hours, don't know how many 100,000 times, then he is capable of helping you to root out some of these coming obstacles. But to do it yourself better, easier, because you depend on this. After that, you reborn, you forgot, no more sasana, you forgot even what you do. And then you accumulate back again all the coming obstacles. It's not going to help you. But if you do it yourself, you understand that life after life from now onward, you become different. All the way is up. No more of the heedless living like before. Okay, the next part, Tammy.
Part 3, meditation. Email number 4 to number 4. 3 turnings and 4 and 12 modes of the 4 Noble Truths. 3.1. The 3 types of prajna or wisdom, as explained by Master Xuanhua, are similar to those of the 3 turnings of the 4 Noble Truth Wisdom, as explained by the Buddha under his Dhamma Chakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon, and they are: first turning, proclaiming the truth as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, or discourse of the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it prajna of language.
So it's the same, listening. You need language to proclaim. So they call it prajna of language. But ours is Suttamaya Panyame, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or the discourse of the Buddha. So it's the same. Next one.
Second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to Cittamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant contemplation, inquiry, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it the prajna of contemplative illumination.
So it's the same. Prajna is wisdom. So wisdom of contemplative illumination. So it's wisdom born of contemplation or inquiry. This is also one of the advice my teacher Ajahn Yantra gave to me. That's why I did that way before I come to know about the three types of wisdom. After 15 years, when Yun Chan came and see me, asked me to share, then when I need to know what is the first sermon, where the Buddha teach that sutta first, then she lent me one book. I think the Thai chanting book that described the Anatta Lakkhana, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon in English. Then when I read through, I saw the three turning. I straight away understood what the sutta say. But the sutta never linked it to the three type of wisdom. The three type of wisdom to the Buddhist community, the Theravada tradition, they teach it separately. But not under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. But I was able to link straight away. The two is the same. Okay? On the third one.
Third turning, meditative training leading to Bhavanamaya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it the prajna of characteristic of actuality or ultimate wisdom.
So it's the same. Prajna is wisdom. Prajna or characteristic or actuality means see things as they are, the reality. Then they also call it ultimate wisdom. Where this is wisdom born of the meditative training. So it's very powerful, very potent. It will awaken. Whereas the first two turning is not so potent. The first two turning can give rise to some form of wisdom and understanding. But if you have cultivated before in your past life, then this life you hear immediately, like Hui Ning, you will awaken. Even Asaji, after he spoke the two stanza, Sariputta straight away become a Sotapan. Then a lot of monks through hearing, like Kondanya, straight away awaken, first turning. Then some after they contemplate, reflect, they also awaken. You don't have to be in the meditative posture. So all this, you will start to understand the condition that brings about awakening. Okay, we have covered that one. Then next one is Heart Sutra 10.
10 Heart Sutra class, part 1, 1.1. Water tear reminded us not to be heedless anymore, but instead thrive on with heedfulness and diligence, making use of the great window of opportunity to cultivate and to gain liberation from birth and death when the Buddha Sasana or his dispensation is still around. This is because, according to the Buddha, it is very difficult to be born as a human being. 人生难得. And even more rare and difficult is to be born during the era of the Buddha Sasana and to encounter the Buddha Dharma. 佛法难闻. So do follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. For this great window of opportunity is indeed very, very, very rare. So please do not be complacent to let it slip away, for you will truly regret how foolish you were if you were to let it slip by. The earlier Heart Sutra short notes that emphasize the following important basic essential teaching of the Buddha. are more than enough to help you all develop your cultivation. 1. Importance of cultivating the 5 spiritual faculties. 2. Importance of having right view with regards to the law of karma, to follow the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada, verse 183. 3. Importance of cultivating heedfulness. And 4. Importance of understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and the 3 turning of the 4 Noble Truths, especially its second turnings, that is to constantly investigate the Dhamma via the second turning of the 4 Noble Truths, to develop your own understanding via Cintamayapanya, wisdom born of the second turning. To develop this Cintamayapanya, one needs to carry out constant inquiry, reflection and contemplation on the Buddha Dhamma, or Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, and not just via believing what the Buddha said and then committing them to memory and storing this so-called Dhamma up as knowledge. For the true Dhamma and wisdom is an understanding, and it is alive, a living Dhamma that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge and memories are of the past, very rigid, fixed, making you very rigid in your views.
Mm. So this one explained very clearly. Yeah. Continue. Yeah.
Part 2, Heart Sutta, Lesson 10, Commentary, page 11 to 15, 2.1. What are deviant views? Deviant views means deviated or wrong and devious views born of delusion that can condition one's suffering and misery. What is affliction? Affliction is mental suffering conditioned by one's 3 evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. 2.3. The unmoving mind of true suchness. The true mind with the enlightenment factor of samadhi and upekkha or equanimity. 2.4. Question. Why did the Buddha specifically state the duration of 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment of at least an anagami if one were to maintain these 4 arousing of mindfulness or satipatthana practices as taught by him? Mother Chia replied, the 4 arousing of mindfulness or 4 foundation of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha is a very unique because according to the Buddha, this 4 arousing of mindfulness is the only way for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana. Then the Buddha continued telling the bhikkhus, verily, O bhikkhus, should any person maintain this 4 arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, for 6 years, for 2 years, let alone a year, for 7 months, 2 months, 1 month, half month, or a week, then by him again, one of the 2 fruitions is proper to be expected, wisdom, knowledge, here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still present, the state of non-returner or anagami. This is the assurance given by the Buddha, so it is worthwhile to give it a try, isn't it? Just sacrifice a maximum of 7 years to cultivate the satipatthana, and your future existence, should you choose to come back, is all set and taken care of. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, and suffering, etc. From then onwards, worth the while, isn't it? So strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore.
So very easy, eh? The Buddha guarantee you maximum 7 years. How stupid also maximum 7 years? Huh? Worth going or not? Wow, worth going, huh? You think so easy, huh? Avijja Sutta got another 7 conditions before you can cultivate. Well, in the sutta, it's mentioned after overcoming covetousness and grief, only you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. So in the Avijja Sutta, it's mentioned and explained by the Buddha. You have to go through the seven steps, finish, develop the initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta, Sati Sambhajana. When you have the stability of mindfulness, that is only the fifth step, you know. First step is having Dhamma friend, you fulfill, okay? Then listening to the true Dhamma, you also fulfill. Then third step, through listening, you develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching and the straightening of view. To develop the straightening, the straightening of view will lead to the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. That is the fourth step. So I believe most of you have the third step, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. But the fourth one, not all. Most of you may have some. Some already have. So after your initial wisdom, then you will be able to develop the daily mindfulness. With the initial wisdom, you will have less delusion, less stirring of the mind, less duality, reaction, and other things, sense experience. So because of that, your mindfulness will be there. Because every moment of sense experience, you don't stir your mind like before, because of the initial wisdom. You can see things as they are, accept the reality of the moment. Yeah? Then like my teacher say, we choose accept everything as natural. Then your mind becomes peaceful, calm. Does not react and stir like before. And because of that, you will have less and less of this sankhara activity of mind. That's why you become more quiet, more peaceful, more moment of awareness. When you can do that, you will have good mindfulness in daily life. Then you have clear comprehension. And once you clear that, you will be able to do the sixth step, sense restraint. Means you can arise the four right effort. You will not arise any karmic negativity like before. And after that, when you have sense restraint, stabilized, developed, you will be able to arise the three way of right conduct. And that is the seventh step. The Buddha said, after you have that, only you can cultivate Satipatthana Sutta. So actually when you hit the seventh step, to me is the fifth step most important, the daily mindfulness and clear. Once you hit that one, maximum 7 years you should cultivate. The most, I don't want to say stupid, the most backward one, also maximum 7 years. So chances is, maybe not 7 days. 7 days one are also the rare one. 7 years is the slowest. So in between, allow 3 years. Reasonable, isn't it? Some of you say, Brother Teo, 5 years also I take. 7 years also I willing to go for you. Because all your future taken care and all. What is 7 years? And most of you are not that old, right? Yeah? Nobody above 80, yeah? Above 70, gone. Don't have, nobody 70, yeah? Richard, you not yet? 70 already? Not yet, Queenie, keep quiet, Queenie above already. But don't worry, you still got chance. Become Matthew 94. You still got 20 over years. That's why she very diligent. She really very diligent. She come to class. She have a lot of joy. Follow a spiritual trip. Then come for retreat. That's why I rejoice. Finish. Sadhu to you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, continue. Tammy, very good.
Part 3, meditation. 3.1. Do not just believe what has been spoken, but instead investigate into all of the Dhamma or truth as advised by the Buddha via constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into all dharmas to fully understand the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, you will know how to free yourself and later share your understanding with others so that you too can be a blessing to all. As taught is response to memory.
Ah, okay. Wait, Richard, this is the one. You were asking me at the just on the lunch there. You talk about thought, isn't it? This is the one you listen. It will help you. Okay, continue. Tell me.
As thought is response to memory, so memory is thought-based and is of the past. Hence, when you cultivate based on memory, which is thought and knowledge-based, you cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond mind. With knowledge, which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your views. So you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views and opinion. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong.
Very good. So this part is for you to develop the initial understanding. Then when you understand this, later on when you meditate, you become very mindful. Then you will understand why J. Krishnamurti say this word. For those who are new, you better listen. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. If you can understand this, then you are very good. But how do human beings act? They only know memory. That's why through memory they act. And you never inquire what is memory. What is memory? All of your accumulated experiences. True or not? Good and bad. This is what your memory is all about. And you tend to carry and accumulate which type of memory? The one that you have fear or phobia. Your fear, your anxiety, your problem. But once in a while, you also got carry the special moment in life. Especially when you really want to have something, then you achieve it. Understand? When things go your way, like you strike lottery, or you get promoted and you become very successful, or you have a breakthrough like scientists get a Nobel Prize. Now, of course, you remember that. But most of the time, you hold on to what? Your phobia, understand? Your scars of memory. Then, all this memory that you carry, you have a brain that is so conditioned. Your brain is conditioned into what? The conditioning comes from when you are young, your parent or the person who look after you. Then you go kindergarten, condition. Then you go to school, condition. Then the paper you read. Now maybe no paper anymore. Now the internet. Then the media, the TV, the video and all those things. So these are the things that condition you. Then the views and opinion of all the various types of organization, religion, and all those things. So you carry all these views, opinion, fear, phobia, selfishness. Then you have seen through your life experience how people cheat you, how sometimes you also cheat people. Understand? Then how people snatch your handbag or say. So you hear motorbike sound, you panic already. Why? The fear comes through memory, where you act according to memory, the conditioning. And that fear, that phobia is so intense. So when you act according to memory, you are not acting at all, true or not? You are acting according to your fear, your delusion, your insecurity, your phobia, all those things. But human beings got no other way of acting unless they have Dhamma, they have wisdom. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So how should you act? Kehun, how should you act? Huh? Yet to learn, ah? You attend Thursday class how many times? Sui An's whiteboard up there, right? So clearly up there. Acting according to? Oh. How do you act? Just like I already told you, you act with understanding, understand? Act with wisdom. And the Buddha under the fourth noble truth, what did he say? If you cultivate noble eightfold path, it will lead to? If you cultivate noble eightfold path, it will lead to? Of course, wisdom lah. We are end of all suffering ma. You don't suffer anymore. That is definitely wisdom. So you must act according to understanding or wisdom born of noble eightfold path. Understand ah? And now I let you write so that you will remember. Act according to wisdom. Come, I got you. Don't worry. Come, write. Come. Otherwise, you won't remember. Otherwise, next year you come. I'm learning, ma. So, one should act according to? According to? To? Wisdom. Well, next time I ask you to write better. Your writing is so much better than mine. Act according to wisdom or understanding. Understanding. Following. Following. Noble Eightfold Path. Ah, you know already. See, you say you don't know. A following, ING. very smart. Hey, never mind. You bracket lah. Then bracket lah. Bracket. Otherwise, a lot of people don't know. You think all Buddhists ah? Otherwise, the non-Buddhists will read this as what? Number eight, father, foster father, foster parent. So it becomes confusing, huh? Noble Eightfold Path. Very good. So this is how you should act. And when you act according to wisdom, you will never go wrong, isn't it? What is wisdom? Noble Eightfold Path. What is Noble Eightfold Path? First path factor is what? Right view. Right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of Dhamma. So when you have right view, how can you go wrong? Whatever happened, let's say, the first noble truth reality, maybe sickness, accident, somebody passed away, died, or disease, or separation, your spouse decide to divorce you, or your girlfriend, boyfriend decide to leave you. So all these type of so-called problems of life, financial problem, police case, drug problem, everything, whatever it comes, you have to act according to wisdom. Wisdom means what? If there is law of karma, like the Buddha say, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So the cause is definitely karma. If it's karma, what must I do? I cannot blame anymore. I cannot blame people. I cannot say, because of that fellow. Because it's all due to your own karma. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned. And you are what you are because of it. Where you reap what you sow. In the past, you do this to people. Now you become the victim. You get into trouble. So when you understand this, you will not react. You will not project your thought. You will not get angry. You will not blame people. You will not become unhappy, miserable. But all this you do is not going to solve your problem. Understand not? Blaming people, getting angry, project your thought and trigger off the fear, worry, anxiety. It's not going to help you. So with this right view, when you understand it's karma, you have to do what you have to do. So if it's karma, like just now Kethun's case, what must you do? Ask for forgiveness first. If you need to repent, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Then after that, vow not to repeat this. They invoke power of merits. When you vow not to repeat this, means you will follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. And when you do that, you cultivate the Dhamma. You develop the 10 meritorious action. You develop the blessing. You develop your merits. And through that, you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to overcome your problem, for you to recover the good mind state, for you to resolve all these karmic obstacle or problem amicably. That's how you do it. Then you got no more suffering. You don't go and do foolish things. And this is the Dhamma that is not in the text, not in the book, not in the scripture. Understand? Because this one comes from Krishnamurti, acting according to memory and idea. And almost 30 years ago, when I heard this and read it in his book, I told my wife, you know, that time. I said, all the monks, most of the monks, they commit to memory, the sutta, everything. So they are acting according to memory. A lot are trapped in memory. That's why when you are trapped in memory, you are trapped in the thought. You cannot free. So you need to understand this in order to free. So never act according to memory. Your memory is hell. Do you know, those who are enlightened, they know, if you go to your head, this is hell. You think this is intellect, knowledge. This is hell, because you got no control. This is thought, experiences, thought-based, limited. So you have to go to your heart. Your heart is where the conscience is. Your heart is where the nature is, the gateway to your nature. Everything is at the heart. That's why I don't always go up there. And you know why you have a head with the brain and the senses all there? Because there is karma to trap you. Yeah, because your conscience is trapped inside at the heart as well. Then they purposely put the brain on top. So that your senses, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile, and your brain. All these six senses, very fast interact with the mundane mind as well. See only get angry. Hear also get angry. Think also get excited or phobia and all those things. That's why this one is creating hell for you, understand? Well, this is suffering. Life is not like that. When you have the conscience, when you have the understanding, the wisdom, the Dhamma, you become different. You experience peace, calmness, awareness, leading to understanding. You transform character-wise, personality-wise, your understanding of life. You become very different. You stay up here, all sorts of problems. You know human beings' problem come from where? Worry. Worry about what? Initially, you worry about your own. What are your worry? Your health problem. Then, scared of getting old, getting sick, and one day die. And that's all. Then, your relationship with people. Then you worry about your financial status or position. Then after you have all this worry, your property, tenant don't pay rent, understand or not? Then you complain, have to pay so much tax. People want to pay tax also no chance. You got chance to pay tax, you complain. That's why you don't understand life. People don't even have house, roof over their head. You got property, you complain. No? Why the real property gain tax so high one? Why assessment so high? My tenants sometimes don't pay me. I have to repair, I have to spend money here and there. So much problem. Got property also complain. Then those people without property, how? So you worry about so many things. They're not only about you, no. After that, like Richard coming to, worry about your grandchildren. No. First is your children. Worry. That they don't have a good life. They don't graduate. They don't study the correct one. Then after that phase over, their children become your grandchildren. You also worry about that. I got one Kayarmita. He said, I really have to take care of my grandchildren. I said, why? He said, because the parent, the son and the daughter-in-law, They are not that tight one. They don't know how to take care of their grandchildren. And you know what she want to do? She want to set up a foundation, make sure the grandchildren is okay. See? Worry, worry. Everything is worry. Own anything also worry. You worry about your loved one falling sick, having problem. Then when your children travel overseas, no WhatsApp to report that they have landed safely, you also worry. Then you text, hey, you okay, landed ready. Someone no reply. I tell you, you don't know what to do. You want to buy a ticket, fly there already. Ayo. Then sometimes your children fly somewhere. Then suddenly, like New Zealand, let's say fly to Christchurch. Two days ago, wow, shooting. No? Oh, yo. So how? Then go Japan, tsunami. Oh, wow. So full of worry. Understand? Human beings' delusion create fear, worries. And all this come from where? Memory. Understand? Because you don't have Dhamma, you don't have reason. Why are you going to worry? When you have Dhamma, everybody is born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned, supported by your karma, and they are what they are because of karma. So as long as you take care of karma, nothing will happen. Understand? Your life will be blessed. Good. Why can't you have faith and trust in your own life, in your own karma, your own karmic nature and spiritual nature? This is what the teaching is all about. So easy, so beautiful. When you understand, you become beautiful. Okay? Clear? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow, careful now, very wise already. Very fast already. Lihai. Gao. Gao. Sadhu, very loud. First time I hear. Okay. Continue, tell me.
3.2, the four right effort within the Noble Eightfold Path. Number one, first right effort to abandon the unwholesome action, speech and thought that have arisen. Second right thought is to prevent the arising of the yet to arisen unwholesome action, speech and thought. This needs constant heedfulness and mindfulness. Third right effort is to arise the right effort to cultivate the appropriate right action, speech and thought regularly. Fourth right effort is to continuously arise the right effort to refine upon the wholesomeness that is already in you until they become perfected as against just to maintain the wholesomeness as stated in most texts.
So this four right effort, easy to understand, this is help you to purify your thought. It's still thought-based, but it's very useful. The four right efforts are very useful. But to do it, you must have mindfulness, awareness. And you must understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, wrong speech, right action, wrong action. If you don't understand what constitutes that, then how can you abandon? You don't even know what it is. You don't know how to look for it. Without mindfulness, you can't. With mindfulness, you must know what they are. Like all the wrong thought. Whatever thought, action, and speech that you create through the three evil roots. As long as the three evil roots are there, then you know it's wrong thought. That's why you have to have mindfulness, sensitivity, and understanding. Otherwise, that selfishness, your whatever action that you do, is based on something that has the evil root, but you never see. Like just now we were discussing with Kethun, understand? He said, isn't it normal for us to have this ambition or intent to strive and become a better person, to improve ourselves? So don't make the mistake. But what I'm telling you is those that have the Dhamma who are sensitive, they will see all the subtle greed, the subtle whatever selfishness behind. But at your level, if you think that this is what you want, go and do, understand or not? But at your level, you just do. Because to you, it is something that you wanted, your passion, your ambition, and that. But after that, how you make use of it and act, that one got karmic implication. So as a Buddhist, as a cultivator, it's up to you. Understand? You can go for it. But the reason why you go for it, don't need to know yet. Understand? Because you are not sensitive enough to know. So to you, it's okay. So okay, go ahead. Understand? But then after you have done it, how you use that? Then only you know. You do because of money or because of what? Because you are compassionate, loving, kind, generous. You want to be a philanthropy. You want to help people. Be a blessing to the world. Oh, that one I sadhu you. Understand? That one is very good. So that you want to make a difference to the world. Make a difference to society. You want more people to have this understanding so that the young kid that has all this problem can have a solution to all this. Maybe you can make it because you have the Dhamma now. Slowly. Then I really rejoice. That's why I was very happy when you came and they told me you are a counselor working in the university. Well, you are capable of helping these people. And this group of people so far don't have real solution, real understanding to help them. Most of them are more towards the medical field, the career guidance. Wait. Very good. Wait. This part of the sharing, very good. Tell me. You can pass the mic to him, her already. We are after this dinner already.
It's just that I think I have the life experience.
Because
my base is I'm a lecturer for that number of years.
Yeah.
So about the younger counselor, not to say they're not good, but they're still very young. Right?
Yeah.
But I've gone
lack
through
lack of experience.
I've gone through marriage. Yeah. I've gone through motherhood.
Yeah.
I've gone through career. And I think I'm.
Now you have gone through Dhamma.
Yeah. And then I'm financially quite comfortable.
Very comfortable. Yes.
So I guess
you have
now,
the good condition.
Now, that's the word.
Yeah.
So I'm going back because I want to contribute.
Yeah.
So,
to society.
Brother Sui An, Brother Sui An asked me, "Do you have any sugar chole?" So I should go back and reflect. Why am I doing it? But I believe that I'm there for us a
purpose,
reason.
A purpose.
But the only thing is when I really listen to the kids. Issue. I also feel that but the things that they bring forth are things I've never heard in my life.
Yeah.
And to say I want to do justice and I want to do good to them. So some of the things that they bring forth, I also need to Google. Oh God, how do
you
do that?
Yeah.
Especially things on gayism, sex.
It's a new field. It's a new field, isn't it?
Totally, something I never heard of. Or
like that Thursday, I remember you came, I asked you, the Sunway College, somebody go and get the gun from the shooting club.
IT college.
Shoot himself, that student. Oh, then the whole university or what, college, panic, man, all over, circular here and there. Then they try to take preemptive measure. But you should learn from Angulimala, just not the Angulimala Sutta. Really? You know, after he become monk, what he saw? That lady with birth problem, bridge. Do you know what he mentioned, what he said or not? Living being is? So when you hear this kid, you should be like Angulimala. Then go and see the Buddha. He went and see the Buddha. Then the Buddha advised him, go and say to the lady, since the day I enter, I take birth in the holy life, I never remember violating this precept of killing anymore. By the power of this truth, may the mother and the child be saved. Straight away. But you must have parami like Angulimala. Not the killing parami. The parami after he become monk. Because he was so serious. And he observed the monk's precept. And he pinned apart. He go through all the suffering. Then that love, that compassion, that he saw suffering. Out of love and compassion for the living being, he wanted to help that lady. See? That is love. That is compassion. Then the Buddha said, you have the parami. At first he thought he don't have. So at first he said, since birth, then he very wise. The Buddha wanted to test him actually. He said, that is lying, isn't it? The Buddha actually wanted him to say that. And what he meant is, since you are born in the holy life, after you have become his disciple, and he went and did that. And Angulimala became very famous though. Every time you want good birth, they chant Angulimala Sutta. Oh, in the hospital, in India, everywhere. Ceylon, Sri Lanka. Angulimala Sutta. You want good birth, Angulimala Sutta. So later on, Kiet Hun Sutta. You want your child to recover, Kiet Hun Sutta. So,
I am in charge, right, if you are.
Oh, very good.
But the main thing is, of course, in the university, we have to be very global talking, so we cannot use Dharma.
Cannot. Yeah, you go there, you create confusion. Then they tell you, wait, Christianity don't have. Why you only invite Buddhists? Oh, look, you got problem.
Brother Beng Chun is doing a lot of good work in IMU.
Sadhu.
So he's actually reaching out. But the Buddhist group doesn't attract like the Christian group. We only have about 10.
Oh, they got Christian group?
Yeah, the Christian, somehow they... I guess the Christian, they sing, and then they have very good fellowship, and they have very good connectivity,
and somehow
the young thing, this is more chun, you know, compared to the Buddhists.
Beautiful, they are more chun.
But the Buddhists are like apian.
I like that. very good.
So
I like that.
There's only 10 students on Thursday night.
You know why? We are not trained to become missionary, understand? We are not trained to propagate, understand? Although we got Buddhist Missionary Society, but they need BGS to teach them how to sing the Buddhist hymn. And this Buddhist hymn come from who, Mainly Victor. You know Victor, isn't it? Victor V. And you know, he last time before he became Buddhist, he was Christian and he liked music. That's why from all this hymn, he converted to Buddhist song, which is very good. Some of the songs are very good. During the university day, Yun Chan. The Churchy now follow Christian way. Yun Chan, you add. No, you add. They have followed the Churchy way. What do?
They
caroling also.
they like to eat. They always have food. Now they arrange to have recycling on that day to collect recycling things.
Okay.
But they will have food. Get two people to volunteer to cook nice vegetarian refreshments. So every time they have an event, there'll be food. He's using food to attract people.
Not music, huh?
Not so much on music.
Because last time we studied literature, Sir William Shakespeare, you remember? If music is the food of love, play on. That is the only sentence I know. If music is the food of love, play on. Yeah? So he used food, which is music. Understand? Music is the food of love. So this Suji one, the food, is food of love. That's why it's music to people who like food. Very good, Yun Chan, thank you.
They have recruited a lot of members.
Oh, very good, very good. Oh, sadhu.
Kehun,
no more apia. The Suji one is no more apia. Very good. Continue. You got 6 more minutes.
I mean, I've brought more or less finished what I have to say, but basically, like I say, I've been to your class, and I feel the only sad thing is that we are all of senior citizen, Lina. I mean, except for our dear Tammy, and it's nice to hear, and Kok Lun, who are the younger ones. So I've been telling my daughter, I say I'm still learning. Sometimes I use the language wrongly. So she'll tell me, Mom, you can tell me all the theory. Can you take the word Dharma out? But when you take the word Dharma, I am shut.
You are like PG last time. Yeah. Last time PG come to Dharma class. The moment he hear Kama, he walk out. She said very funny. She came to my class. she heard karma, she didn't walk out. And it stayed for so many years.
So I got a very intelligent daughter who was telling me, Mom, those theorems that you learn from your Dharma class is amazing. But you got to word it.
Your daughter is right. Don't use Dhamma. Why
you
don't you use Dhamma?
Differently so that it's applicable.
What did the Buddha use? Truth. He teach the truth. So what is truth? Nature's law. All these are nature's law. You tell them.
Yeah, so I have the process, and I was talking
you
to
you. You know, I spoke to Christians who came and see me before. They were Christians who came. And to me, it's very simple. I say, you are a Christian. You don't have to change your faith. Yeah, what I'm sharing you is something that can help you. So forget about the religious label. Religious label doesn't define anything. They are like method and technique. They are not meditation. You understand that? If you call yourself a Buddhist, you think you are a true Buddhist? There are a lot of black sheep within the community. You understand that? If you call yourself a Christian, are you a true Christian? I ask. I say, if you don't hold the embodiment of Jesus' teaching, which is the Ten Commandments and love and compassion, if you don't have that, you are not a Christian. You understand? Then the Buddhists that say, I'm a Buddhist, Buddhist by name, by label, no use. Then you try to glorify Buddhism, you go and argue with people. What type of Buddhist are you? You understand? Now? People put Buddha by, you cannot tahan already. People destroy your Buddha, you cannot take it already. What type of Buddhist are you? To be worthy of the Buddhist label, to be the disciple of the Buddha or the devotee of the Buddha, you must at least do one simple thing. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. Meditate. Keep the five precepts. Did you do that? And then if you do that, you will have that credibility to be a Buddhist. But yet, you are not a true Buddhist. You are starting on it. You haven't developed the understanding of his teaching. So don't use that label when you talk to people who are non-Buddhists. That's why I always ask those people who come and see me, do you have any specific religion? Most of them are Chinese. There are two or three Indian Ceylonese that came. Their tears came out. One of them, Kayaramita, who came from Subang, then talked to me. Then I explained to her that she more or less had the understanding, full of gratitude, and I think recovered quite well. Then he introduced the friend, the Ceylonese one. Also very thorough one. The husband also left her and did a lot of things to her. So these are married problems, ladies' problem. So I told her, I said, if you are a Hindu, no problem. Because they are towards the Hindu. Then some are Christian. I said, no problem. It's nothing to do with the religious label. We are here to understand life. Through the understanding, we improve our life. We change our life. So whatever that can help you improve your life, bring you out of your suffering or problem, use it. Why do you want to worry whether it's Buddhist or what? Anasara, or Christian or what? So I always tell them, nature's law. I don't want to say karma. Anasara. I say the law of cause and effect. Oh, they can understand. They accept. Then I say Newton's law. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Oh, they can accept. And so, law of cause and effect is not karma. It's karma, but don't use the word lah. Understand? And people can accept. A lot of people are so conditioned. They are very sensitive. Like last time, PG, you asked PG. The word karma is taboo to her. You let her share 1 or 2 minutes. PG, come. She told me later on in the car, then only I came to know.
Because unfortunately, a lot of people, when they say karma, they use it in the negative
connotation.
So, it's just like a typical case. A friend of mine, she had a breast cancer. And you have people who are so cruel to say that it's your karma lah. Last time you must have been a prostitute. That's why you kena this.
Wow, like that.
So, that
is not
the
Dhamma.
Reflect your As let's say if you're a Buddhist and you say that to another
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No wonder, she shut off her mind when he heard that word karma. That's why when you hear it from somebody in a different connotation, it really shut you off. So you have to be careful. Sometimes you don't just go and listen and then, ayo, Buddhism like that one. Bye-bye one. Don't want that. So they say we are superstitious. We pray to dainty idol worshipping.
Virtue, can I say something?
Can.
I think in terms of Buddhism, before I come to learn the Dharma, I feel that it's very serious. You know, it's like, you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. It really makes me very weary. So imagine how a young mind would think, ayo, so mahavan, this cannot do, that cannot do, everything also cannot do. But you see, let's just do a simple comparison with maybe Christianity. They encourage you to enjoy life. At the same time, you follow their religion.
Yeah.
But Buddhism is everything you cannot, everything, karma, karma, karma. You see what I mean or not, brother?
Yeah, I know. I can understand your point of view. Thank you, RPG. Very good, Sherry. So, last time I remember, I think in the university, so we were in the first year, we had this group of, like you say, the Christian lady, near, that time I think it was near Christmas, towards the end of the year. So they came to the college, university, invite us, because they are Christian, don't know what society. There's one Christian fellowship, I think. So they came, all pretty good, young students. They knocked every room. Then we happened to be one of our uni mates' room, about 8 of us inside there. Then they knocked on me. We saw pretty girl. Everybody excited. Yeah, what can we do for you? We thought they, for no reason, come and see you. Then the moment they start, then we know already. Then, you know what they tell us or not? He said, Christianity is different. You go Buddhism, life is suffering. Everything is suffering. Like PG. Then, no fun one. Here, got caroling, got hymns, you go to church, happy, understand or not? Then, Jesus love, we talk about love. Ngo de gong sum, gong ngan, love. So, when he say that, how to compare? Even that time I got Buddhist background, I also dare not say anything, understand or not? Because, how to challenge this type of what they call argument. But we very smart. We say, okay, if we go caroling, then later on we are interested in Christianity. What is it in Christianity that can attract me? Apart from those things that you talk about, Jesus, the world. Then they start, Jesus. He said, you must believe in God. You must believe in the Son of God and all those things. Then you must keep the Ten Commandments. Then there is a lot of things that you will learn when you come to church activities, a lot of fun and all those things. Then I ask a very simple question. I say, why must I believe in God? I don't think there is a God. Cannot take it already. Then one of them still try to tone down. He said, God is almighty. God is omnipresent. I say, okay, like that. If God is almighty, if I'm given God's power, I say, I can create a better world than what I'm seeing now. Correct? No war, nothing. Everything is utopia. How come the world is full of division, conflict, war, everything, misunderstand? And the worst is religious war. And the greatest religion, the two, have the greatest religious war every time having all these things. And you know what she replied? She also cannot keep the patient already. He said, if you all talk like that, you all will be condemned to eternal hell. If you don't become a Christian, you don't accept our faith, you will be doomed, eternal hell. Then after that, one of the classmates, lucky best, lucky joker, he said, hell. Oh, got hell. Heaven means we not qualify. I don't want to go heaven. I want to go to hell. Well, my mahjong kaki all in hell, is it? You understand or not? My mahjong kaki, my friend, all non-Christian, all in hell. Why should I go heaven? I boring up there. No friend, is it? Wow, she cannot take it all. And a few of them together say, wait till judgment day. Wow. So they thought they won the argument, no? Wait till judgment day. Then one of the classmates asked, judgment day, who judge? He said, Jesus, son of God. He asked her back, you think Jesus got time? Because 6 billion population, no. The dead one don't count yet. No. Each person 5 minutes, you know, take how long to judge or not. Yeah? You know, court case. Yeah? Keep on postponing, like our good friend. The dog jump over, also postpone the case. So, wow, she got the thing furious inside there. Then he said, I don't want to talk to you. Then they walk on the road. Then after that, some of them say, ayo, why you make her life so miserable? She came in with love. She came with joy. I expect you all to have that type of understanding and become their Christian friend. So that was the story. So I hope with that you understand. So when you meet non-Christian or Christian or other faith, don't worry. You tell them the religious label doesn't define who you are. Your heart. If your heart is good, you have Jesus' love and compassion, you really keep the Ten Commandments, you will have goodness. You are a true Christian. You are a religious person. Spirituality is about the heart, not your religious label. You understand? Not? That's why when people ask me, are you a Christian? are you a Buddhist? You know how I answer? I was a Buddhist. I started as a Buddhist. Why do I want to carry that label? You understand? I don't need that label. I am open to all understanding, all truth. Not restricted to Buddhism alone. But my main understanding, everything is from Buddhism. Now why I want to limit myself? You understand? Huh? That's why Krishnamurti teaching I can understand. Eckhart I can understand. Bhayankati, all those that have truth I can understand. So why should I have a label? That's why I put up Kayamita, Dharma Friends, not a Buddhist society. So all this, hopefully, it helps. We better go for dinner. Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You can go for dinner. Yeah? Those who are not taking dinner, you can do your whatever thing you want to do. Thank you.